the March 11th City Council Business Meeting. City Clerk Clark, would you call the roll, please?
Councilmember O'Meara.
Here.
Councilmember Rue.
Here.
Councilmember Williams.
Here.
Councilmember Roche.
Here.
Councilmember Pinkerton.
Here.
Councilmember Hutchings.
Here.
Mayor Schumaker.
Here. Please rise as you are able and join the Pledge of Allegiance.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Each member of the council has received a copy of the minutes from our February 11th business meeting. Are there any corrections to the minutes? Hearing none, they will stand approved as written. We didn't have anyone sign up for citizen comments this evening, so we'll move on to our business items. Beginning with item 6A, appointment of Ariel Rogers as ministerial recorder. Administrator Grayson, will you summarize for us, please?
Yes, thank you, Mayor. I'll summarize by reading the request to council, requesting that Ariel Rogers, Assistant Clerk of Court, be appointed to ministerial recorder for Simpsonville Municipal Court. Ariel has been here for 2 years and 4 months. In this time, she has been a model employee whose work has been exemplary. She has a great work ethic and learns duties very quickly. In this new role, she would assume responsibilities in the absence of the administrative judge during normal business hours. Her duties would involve signing warrants and conducting arraignments. Ariel has gained knowledge of all paperwork and processes in this role while working with the chief judge, on-call judges, and the administrative judge. Our previous administrative judge was in that same role and was appointed ministerial recorder by this council, and she's now the administrative judge. So it makes for a great succession plan. That is all.
Okay, thank you. Motion is in order.
Mayor and Council, I'll make a motion to approve the appointment of Ariel Rogers as ministerial recorder.
Second.
I have a motion from Councilmember Hutchings with a second from Councilmember O'Rear. Now, is there any discussion? Hearing none, all those in favor signify by saying yes.
Yes.
All opposed signify by saying no. That motion carries by a vote of 7-0 and is unanimous. And at this time, we're going to have Judge Strong and Ms. Rogers come forward and do the swearing-in ceremony. If you would please flip those microphones around so that we capture this on our audio recording. Thank you.
According to the Constitution of this state,
to exercise the duties
of the office,
to which I have been appointed,
and that I will,
to the best of my ability,
discharge the duties thereof,
and preserve.
Protect and defend
the Constitution of this state
and of the United States.
As a judge of the city of Simpsonville,
I will equally,
fairly and impartially,
to the best of my ability and skill,
exercise the trust
reposed in me.
And will use
my best endeavor
to preserve the peace
and carry into effect
according to the law
the purpose for which I have been appointed.
So help me God.
Congratulations.
Congratulations, Cheryl.
Thank you, guys.
Thank you. Item 6B, second reading of ordinance O-2025-01, the lease agreement with Crown Blue for 102 Academy Street. Administrator Grace, will you summarize, please?
Yes, Mayor and Council. This is the second reading of the ordinance required to lease the property just back here at 102 Academy Street, which is the former fire department admin building. You all approved leasing that building to Crown and Bloom in two previous meetings, and this would be the final reading for that approval so we can get the lease agreement signed. It is very timely that it is today because this morning they were featured on Fox Carolina. I sent you all a link. I think they're going to be a great addition to the Simpsonville business community and certainly a great addition to the park.
Thank you, Administrator Grace. The motion is in order. Councilmember Rocha.
Mayor, I move that council approve the second reading of ordinance 2025-01, lease agreement with Crown Bloom for 102 Academy Street.
Second.
I have a motion from Councilmember Rocha with a second from Councilmember Hutchings. Discussion? All right, here comes from council. I will just say that I saw the piece on Fox, and they were very nice to give a really wonderful shout out to the city of Simpsonville. So I think that they're going to be a welcome addition. So, any further discussion? Councilor Hutchings?
I just want to say, I think in our last meeting, there was a discussion about having some of the library function at the shop, and I'd just like to strongly encourage that we have some facet of that there, since that was what the building was initially. I think they indicated they could do that. Some books and things for people coming in. I'd like to encourage them to do that if they could.
Okay.
So, all of those in favor of approving a second reading ordinance O-2025-01, lease agreement with Crown and Bloom for 102 Academy Street, signify by saying yes.
Yes.
All of those signify by saying no. That motion carries 7-0 and is unanimous. If there are no objections, I'm going to move item E up to this point on the agenda so that the representative from the GCRA can make their presentation and not have to sit through the entire council meeting. And if you are ready to go, hold on just one moment. All right, and if you want to take this remote, that would be helpful. So the big button is the one in the middle. That's the one that goes forward, okay? So before you get started, let me just say that we are doing item 6E, Resolution R-2025-02, Greenville County Redevelopment Authority Annual Community Development Block Grant and Home Allocation. Administrator Grace, do you have a summary?
I will defer to Jose right now to give you the PowerPoint presentation, and then if there are any questions about the resolution itself, I'll be happy to answer those.
All right, thank you. All yours.
Good evening, City Council of Simpsonville. My name is Jose Reynoso. I'm with the Creveaux County Redevelopment Authority, and today I'm representing the annual action plan for the City of Simpsonville for 2025. So brief agenda of what we're going to be discussing today, kind of introduction of myself. I do have one board member here with me today, Ms. Denise, and then kind of overview of what the annual action plan is, what the funding sources that the City of Simpsonville receives, what the allocation for the prior 2 years, and your draft for what the allocation is for this year, and a brief overview of the programs that we kind of run with the funding that we receive. So what is the annual action plan? So the annual action plan is the application that we submit to the Department of Housing and Urban Development, HUD, and it is what we kind of use when we submit to HUD as to what our plan is for your funding, whether it be the use of CDBG funds, which is the Community Development Grant, your home funds, and then Emergency Solutions Grant. And so that runs from the July 1st all the way to June 30th of the very next year. And this year will mark the first year of our five-year consolidated plan, which we're also running at this time. And so here are some of the rules that we have to kind of follow with the community development grants. At least 70% of it has to be used to for individuals in the low to moderate income. And all those activities that we do fund must fall under one of the three criteria: benefit low to moderate individuals or households, prevention or elimination of the systemic blight, and urgent development, urgent community development, whether that be infrastructure work, demolition, or any activities as such. Home funds are used for the construction of either homeownership or rental units to benefit low to moderate income individuals. And so this chart here kind of shows the prior 2 years of funding that you guys received and the proposed 2025 funding that you guys will be receiving for this year. And so through working with the city of Simpsonville, here's kind of the breakdown of the allocation. We've kind of broken it down so more of your allocation goes towards the construction of new housing units, whether that be rental or homeownership, whether that's just us as a agency building them ourselves in the city or working with a partner to develop multiple homeownership units or rental units. Of course, you've also seen demolition is also a big factor in that. With demolition, we kind of allocate the large amount of funding with the intended use of that parcel eventually becoming a homeownership unit or a rental unit. We do allocate a little bit towards your economic development through facades for the storefront or small business loans. And then you guys, as a city, do fund two nonprofit agencies in the Center for Community Services and then your senior program. And so the chart here shows some of the eligible activities through the CDBG funds, through homeownership, those homeownership units, rental units, first-time home buyers program that we run. That's through a partner with the Community Works Carolina that does down payment assistance or they assist with closing costs. The investor program that we run as well. So if you have investors who have rental units that need to be need any kind of repairs done, we can do a small time loan for that so we get more affordable units out to the community. We also run a rehab program to do major repairs, minor repairs for home ownership. Our own in-house loan program that we do as well. And then we also have a rental assistance for homeless prevention for those that are at risk of being homeless. And then we have the rapid rehousing portion of it, which is for those people or those individuals or families that are already on the streets, kind of get them housed. And our goal with that is we don't intend to put a family or individual in a household that they can't maintain. So our goal is to always have them in a unit where no more than 30% of their income goes towards paying rent. Any more than that, then we see that they usually can't sustain that. So we want to prevent that on our end. And then some of our community development programs that we run, we do infrastructure improvement, so that's building up sidewalks, kind of repairing sewer lines, our demolitions, facility improvement, which we've done before with the I believe it's the senior center that you guys have, making it more ADA accessible, and our public service activities through our nonprofits, like the Center for Community Services or the one of the senior centers, those also provide food assistance and utilities assistance. And then our economic development, which again is our small business loans, usually no more than 3% on a loan. And then our facade improvement program, which is more dedicated to small businesses on your main street to kind of any upgrades onto the front of their store. And that is a forgivable loan over 5 years for them. Never have to pay anything back, as long as they stay. And then here is a timeline of what our schedule is for the annual action plan. So throughout March, we'll be doing, visiting all five municipalities, again, going over their annual action plan. Towards in April, I'll have a more general annual action plan for the whole of Greenville County. After that, towards the end of April will also submit that to the County of Greenville for their approval. We have their approval, the final approval that goes to HUD in May, or any delays at the federal level from our end. And the funding should be available July 1st for the city to use. And again, thank you. If there's any questions, you can reach out to our Executive Director, Joe Smith, and we'll be accepting comments all the way till May 6th, a week before its final submission to HUD.
Any questions for Jose?
Councilman Pruitt. I do have one, maybe you could give me clarity on. It looks like the monies toward this has more than doubled the last 2 years. What causes those influx?
So some of those influxes are incurred, and it's probably most likely to the program income. So when we as an agency build a rental unit or a homeownership unit, if that, for example, a homeownership unit sells and we make a profit, we reinvest that into the city of Sensiville. So any profit that we make off of a homeownership is then reinvested to you guys for the next year. Same thing with any kind of rental. If we have a rental, any kind of profit that's made from that, we kind of, again, recycle it back into the city of Sensiville's pool of funding to use.
Follow-up question. Kent, how much of those funds, I'm sure there's a limit, but for infrastructure, for like playground equipment for city parks and those things in our city, can some of those funds go toward those, and have they, maybe Mr. Bracely, can that go back as well?
So we kind of speak with the, we have a meeting prior to this with your city councilman, with your city admin, and so we kind of discuss the allocations for the CDBG funds. If we see more of a need that you guys see more infrastructure work, we can always reallocate. So that's not always set in stone. If you guys see that you guys need more infrastructure work, we can take some from demolition and reallocate it to infrastructure. So there's no limit as to what you can allocate to each kind of category. We can leave it up to you guys. If you see more of a need in this category than in another, we can always reallocate funds.
Okay. Councilmember Hutchins?
The CDBG funds, has that already been allocated to specific projects, or is that something that someone could apply for now?
Yes, so they're able to apply. So the projects are always ongoing. If we're talking about a nonprofit looking to receive any of the CDBG funds, that window has actually closed. But for you guys, typically allocate, I believe, 10 to 12,000 for those nonprofits. But for any other projects, it's kind of an ongoing thing with the city. We typically wait for the city to reach out to us to let us know how they want to use their funding. So if you guys see a project that you want to do a demolition or infrastructure piece, you would just reach out to us, and then we would kind of work it out with the funding that you have available, and then we would kind of go through the process of figuring out, okay, is this a multi-year project, or is this a project we can do within the year to use your CDBG or home funds?
So this amount is broken out of here by dollar amounts for various things like public service programs, facility improvement. Those have not been identified yet, but they are. That's the amount of money that we can allot.
I've been identified. We leave it to you guys. When you guys identify a project, just let us know, and we will work together to.
And that identification process would come about by the application from.
So since these funds are already allocated to you guys, you would just let us know how you guys intend to use the funds. You wouldn't need to go through an application process. These are already strictly your funds available to you.
And if I may just clarify for Councilmember Rue, any of the projects would have to meet the national eligibility requirements. It would either have to benefit low and moderate income, it would have to be for elimination of slum and blight, or it would have to have an imminent threat that we would be addressing. So for playground equipment, that would only mean in parks that are in low and moderate income neighborhoods, which would likely, if the census tract does not show that, then it would require a door-to-door survey to see if it would qualify.
And we would do that survey on your behalf if for, to identify a community or a neighborhood that needs to be a low to moderate neighborhood. So we would do that on your behalf.
Are there costs to that?
No, it's just we already pay for the database that does that, and all I have to do is just plug in the numbers, and then we would identify the actual neighborhood and what homes we need to include. And we just send out either an email or actual physical mail, or we would send some of our staff to knock door to door to do that.
Okay.
Do you know off the top of your head the definition for low and moderate incomes?
So there is actually an income guideline for that, that HUD puts out every April. I didn't include it in this one because, again, it's going to update in April, so I wouldn't know the actual numbers at the moment. But I believe the median income is $88,000 for all of Greenville County. They don't actually break it down by municipality, it's more of by county. So for Greenville County, I believe it's $88,000, and it'll change in April. It may go down, it may go up, but they usually try to identify by what's the median, what's the 50% of that income. So if it's $88,000 for the median, it'll most likely be $44,000 is what they're looking for and under. But then it always changes depending on the number of people in the household. So it's a very convoluted job. Yes.
Council member questions? Thank you very much.
Thank you, sir.
Do we, have the motion yet? So I guess we need to do the motion for the approval of resolution R-2025-02. Is there a motion?
Mayor, I move that council approve resolution R-2025-02, GCRA annual CDBGBN application.
Second.
A motion from Councilmember Roche with a second from Councilmember Ruth. Is there any further discussion? All those in favor signify by saying yes.
Yes.
All those signify by saying no. Motion carries 7-0, and it is unanimous. Thank you very much. Item 60, first reading of ordinance O-2025-02 to amend O-2018-07. Councilmember Pinkerton, will you summarize this?
Right, there are no changes to the ordinance as previously proposed, so I move that council approve the first reading ordinance 0-2025-02, amending
0-201807.
Second. Motion from Councilmember Pinkerton with a second from Councilmember O'Rear. Discussion? Hearing none, all those in favor signify by saying yes.
Yes.
All those signify by saying no. That motion carries 7-0. Item 16, first reading of ordinance O-2025-03, sale of city-owned property. Administrator Grayson, will you summarize?
Yes, thank you, Mayor. This ordinance is up for first reading for the sale of the former City Hall property. As many of you know, because you were on council at the time, these discussions have been ongoing for 4 years. The sales contract was entered into based on the authorization from previous council back in 2021. The amount was based on the appraised value of the property at that time. The ordinance is to get us in the final stretch of being able to close on that property. And I'll be happy to answer any questions.
Thank you, Administrator Grayson. Motion is in order. Councilmember Williams.
I move to approve the first reading of ordinance 0-2025-03, sale of city-owned property. Second.
A motion from Councilmember Williams with a second from Councilmember Roche. Discussion? Councilmember Pinkerton?
Yeah, I'd first like to get some clarification. At the last meeting of the whole, we came out and voted on a motion that was put forward by the mayor and seconded to create ordinance 02025-02. And I asked a question about it, whether it was final at that point. He said, no, we have two readings. But my concern is that we voted to create the ordinance, and we didn't get the ordinance until Friday, and yet even until Monday to get the contracts associated with it. So my question is, are we doing this procedurally correct? Because generally what we've done in the past with ordinance is the ordinance has been part of the agenda, which it wasn't during that meeting. And then it would be voted on to move, to approve, to go to the next readings.
So
that's my question to start with.
I think that we are okay on that. That's the purpose of having a first and second reading. And as a matter of fact, you know, there have been times when we have made amendments to ordinances between first and second reading and haven't gone back and started from scratch with that. So I believe the first and second reading is just for this very purpose, so that the public gets, you know, their chance to hear and interact with the council.
Can we get clarification on that to council? Because I can't get my head around the fact that we voted to create the ordinance. And at that point, it should, in my opinion, and my thought was that we would then be able to see the ordinance. It would be part of the next committee of the whole meeting to be moved forward with two votes. So I'm just questioning whether we have done this technically correct.
So,
and if we have, I appreciate that we get some verification of that. What I've read in our own ordinance is that a council person can submit an ordinance to be approved through the agenda process, and then it goes to the first reading to go to be approved to go to the first and second reading for approval.
I think that's exactly, I mean, you might be hanging on the word create the ordinance, but it was my understanding that we were looking to move this to this business meeting agenda, and that's what we do in committee of the whole, is decide what's going to be on the agenda. That's really the primary purpose of committee of the whole. So it was my understanding that the action we took at our committee of the whole put this item on the agenda. So
that's your understanding. Is there any chance that we can get, does anybody else agree with me? I'm concerned about that. I just think that we've bypassed a process that we'd normally have gone through.
Okay, so let me see if I can expedite this process. I rule that we have followed the procedure. Now it is a council member's option to appeal that ruling to all of council.
Well, I'll do this while I have the floor. I'll just make my comments, and then we can move forward with the rest of the comments. In this particular case, I wasn't part of the process to begin with. So my assessment in voting this in the affirmative effectively invalidates an item that was originally approved by previous council, which I was not a part of. So since I didn't participate in the initial formation of this approval 3+ years ago, my vote represents now my independent assessment of this agreement with the purchaser. In other words, it's problematic for me to support this ordinance since I cannot offer opinion to the original proposal. It's not up. The only thing that's up now is the ordinance and not the original agreement. So I will be voting no because I just wasn't there to approve the original version of this. So,
Councilmember Reed.
I'm not sure about the appeal of the assessment, but I'll throw my 2 cents worth in.
to your surprise, no. I think, you know, I thought about this too from a logistical standpoint. What Councilmember Pinkerton said, I think is correct. If a motion was to create the ordinance, then it seems like the ordinance would be created to be presented at the next committee of the whole for us to then look at that ordinance.
Councilmember Rule, that item has been ruled on.
Okay, well.
So there's a ruling.
All right, well, then we'll back up. For Mr. Grace, you know, my first time I ever heard about this, because I'm like Councilmember Pinkerton, I wasn't council, was from constituents about the sale of those property. And in 2021, what I don't get is we're literally being asked to, and really I didn't really like what happened last meeting. We were asked to vote on something we didn't have in front of us. We were asked to come out of committee of the whole and vote to move forward the sale. And we literally just got the contract Monday and the sale or the appraisal today. I didn't have a problem voting it forward because I'm at 100% right now voting to leave that committee of the whole. But we didn't even have the information to vote on. We were asked to vote on it, and I vehemently disagreed with that part. I would have now voted, but that's neither here nor there. But we literally voted on something in half. We were asked to vote on sale. We didn't have sale price. We didn't have sale dates. We didn't have contracts. We were asked to vote, and we did. And so here we are. I know we've been a little on this, but here's my question. If this contract, which I didn't know was a contract, I was under the impression we had a letter of intent, which is not a binding agreement. Everything I've seen about this is a binding agreement. How do you enter into a binding agreement before you even have the ordinance in place that allows for the binding agreement? So now what we're being asked to do is we're being asked to now give ourselves permission for something we've already done. That's getting the cart ahead of the horse on this. So how is it even possible to ask a council to go back and grant the permission of the previous council should have done then? Why was this ordinance not created at the time when the previous council debated the sale of property, which I will have to say, you know, for public consumption, there were no other bids on this property. There were no other people that knew that the property was being sold. And there was no public knowledge of the sale price or any details with it. But what I disagree with is I have been, and I'm not going to speak for the newer council members, but we have literally been painted into a corner here. Because on the surface, legally, the city of Simpsonville has entered into a binding contract to sell a piece of property that we right now don't even have an ordinance that allows the city to do that. So now we're being asked to go in reverse and back it up. So why wasn't that done then? And my guesstimate would be because if you do it then, it's going to have to be public knowledge. So for over 3 years, the public has had no ability to even know what's going on. They had a council that didn't even know the sale price of Monday. So I can't support this because this to me is, has nothing to do with the developers or what they want to do. Don't paint me into a corner like this. I can't just say yes because some all got rolled and this should never got rolled without this ordinance. The first one, do the ordinance first and then come back and ask us to vote on sale of the property. Don't agree to sell the property and then come back and ask a second council, binding a second council to the decision that was made over 3 years ago. So I'm going to have to vote no.
So, as a point of clarification about what took place back in 2021, is the reason that we did not come out and vote to finalize the sale at that moment is because we would have then had to either lease back the property and pay a lease for the last 4 years, or move to a different place and pay rent or whatever we would have had to do there. And all that money would have been just spent. It would have been some cost in order to get to the point where we moved into this building and then could now sell the city property. The not selling the property was at the city's request. This was something that we asked them to agree to. Would you be willing to postpone the finalization of the sale until we move out so that we don't have to enter into a lease agreement? There wasn't some nefarious motive for keeping some secret, other than when you enter into a project like this with somebody who is working on a complex business deal that involves more property owners than just the city of Simpsonville, that if we make that information public, it's their story to tell. If we make that information public, you can, as a city, mess up the deal to the point where it won't move forward. So there's, I don't think there was an intention of prior council to somehow do a future city council into a deal that they don't like. I think it's very important to understand that the people that we have been talking to about this project that they are wanting to move forward with, they're an amazing group. It's a huge opportunity for the city. It's a very, very good thing for us. We only have to look just across the street, basically just across Curtis Street at Burnett Central, and how successful that project has been. It's the same group. And they have a reach across the southeast doing projects like this that are just very, very good projects, something that's very, very well done. And again, what that ends up being is really not decided yet, but whatever they end up having that project be, we still get another crack at that. We still get to say whether we approve of that project or not. But that doesn't go forward without approving this ordinance and finalizing the sale. We are in a position of, do we want to totally blow up a deal and potentially lose having a first-rate company that's going to do something similar, maybe even better than what they did with Burnett Central? Are we going to risk blowing that up, also risk the legal ramifications of backing out on a deal that the city council agreed to? I think it's problematic if that's the direction that council decides to go. Councilmember,
yeah, just to go a little bit further, the ordinance that we're voting on, not out in front of me, but it has the word intent or intends. To your point, Mayor, they intend to put together an ID that has not been approved. It hadn't gone through planning department. It hadn't gone through that whole procedure. It has not gone through the city council. And there is a potential that if they get to a point where they cannot put forward the product that they want with an ROI, return on investment, and at that point, they could need to do a couple of things. They could build by the current zoning, which is business urban, and build by that, or they could sell the property, right? And so it's a little bit concerning. Again, I wasn't part of the original contract, but the intent clause, there's no shall in there. It's just the intent. And we are on a bit of a hook. To your point, they might be wonderful people, but wonderful people want to make money. So if there's no ROI, they could walk. And that's very concerning to me.
We never addressed why the ordinance just wasn't done back then, and we can talk about that in a second. As it comes to the lease back, you said the lease back can be $1 a month. I mean, it doesn't have to be a $700, it could be about nothing to have this deal. I don't think that's an impediment. The city's not losing anything if we say no right now, if we're not collecting any money on taxes on that land anyways. We can buy time. And I think if we pass this, we lose all sorts of leverage as it comes to what we can and can't approve. Not to mention the fact that I can, and I would have to defer to Councilmember Roche, because she would know a lot more than I would about this part of it. But I've never really heard of agreeing to a fixed price in a booming real estate market in Simpsonville 3 years in advance and sticking to it. To Councilmember Pinkerton's point, if we sell this for, I don't know, just X amount of dollars, it could be worth a whole lot more than that right now, and it is. I couldn't imagine it not being. So we could end up getting a developer who just literally looks at us and says, if we don't get to build it exactly like we want, we're just going to sell it and make $500,000 off of ourselves. Well, that $500,000 could be made for the city of Simpsonville's taxpayers if we reassess this and took its appraisal at today's market value. And it may not be staggeringly different, but it's different. And I think we owe that to the people. Some people I've just never heard. I couldn't imagine selling my home today and agreeing to a price 3.5 years in advance, knowing good well that I'm probably going to be the loser on this because my house will increase in value. So the developer really took no risk in entering this agreement because he gets a fixed price. And the city was the one that's going to be the big loser because we agreed on the price. It's probably far less than market value today. And I don't think that's right. I just truly don't, you know, and I get what the mayor's saying about the people, what they can build, and everything else. And I'm sure it turned out great. But the problem is they're the only people we ever talked to. There's other people with money and expertise out there. And I think we just owe the people of Simpsonville to want to maximize the value of the land that we're going to sell and look at different partners that may or may not have better ideas that's going to be a long-term benefit to the city of Simpsonville. And I just, you know, like I said before, there were a lot of things that, to me, from the start, just didn't look good to this, and I just can't support it. Thank you.
Councilmember Hutchings?
I've just got a couple of questions. This agreement that we signed in 21, are we bound by that? And if we don't move forward with this ordinance, are we in breach of contract?
Chairperson?
Yes, that's on the advice of council that we would be. And just to remind everyone, I know it's been said, but I want to say it very clearly. We could have closed on this property then. That council could have adopted the ordinance to allow for the closing of the property. They would never have leased it back to us for a dollar because then they were going to be paying property taxes on the property. So they would at least want to recoup that investment. And at the same time, they were negotiating buying the property from us, and council agreed appraise value at that time that the sales contract was entered into. They were purchasing the property on the former SunTrust Bank property on the other side to create a much larger development. And now they're negotiating. They've been trying for 3 years to get the secured Federal Credit Union property, and now they've finally gotten them to agree to dividing that and selling what looks to be about 40% of that property. So they've been waiting for us, not the other way around. And now they're being penalized if we don't go through based on other properties they've accumulated to make this work. Should we have gone ahead and done the ordinance? We could have, but I don't think anybody anticipated with a valid sales contract that this would be an issue. That, you know, the ordinance would be an issue because council had already legally agreed to sell the property.
I believe the thought process was that this was a formality, not a, that the property was sold in 2021. This is just a formality to put the things in place that we're required to have in place to finalize that sale and have them pay us for it.
And Councilmember Arrear, to your point also, it was never about the maximum price we could get for the property. It was about the highest and best use. And part of council's decision then was based on the adjoining property being part of this development and not just having it be a mid-block property. Now there's a corner piece to it with the former SunTrust property. And so that was a lot of the consideration too. And the idea was always that the city would get full appraised value for the property at the time that they agreed to sell it, which is what is part of the sales contract.
Councilmember.
So I'll echo what everybody said. I wasn't part of the previous council either. I came in this a little confused why things were done the way they were, and it's just kind of the bag we've been given at this point. I'm more concerned that a potential lawsuit would far, far be much more the taxpayers' expense than the difference of what we would get for that piece of property in 3 years of accumulation value. So I'm always going to be leery of putting the city in a cost of a lawsuit. And if they're advising us that this indeed would do that, then I'm going to be very leery not to agree with what a previous council has agreed to. I would like to ask Councilmember Pinkerton if tabling this to put it out in the public for a few weeks longer, is that where you're going with this? Is that your main hiccup here, or is it more what Councilmember Ramirez were referring to?
No, I'm not interested necessarily in tabling this moving forward. I was really concerned about the process of what we did at the beginning. And if what the mayor says is true, then I'll stand by that. But I just have my concern that we weren't doing this procedurally correct. And I don't know that I'll get over that, but I'll stand with the vote as it goes.
I can definitely appreciate the perspective from Councilmember Root, Councilmember O'Rear, and Councilmember Pinkerton, because it's difficult to come in at this stage when so much has already been agreed to, and now you're being asked to actually finalize something that you weren't part of the process to do. And I understand all these questions. I don't think I have much more to offer. When they came to us in 2021, it has taken 4 years for them to get agreements in place because they didn't just want City Hall, they pretty much want that entire piece. And so they've had to negotiate deals like Administrator Gracely said with other entities, other property owners on both ends to be able to build what they want to build and give us something that we can work with them on to better Simpsonville. The appraisal thing, I had questioned that earlier today, and the difference in what the city would have paid in a leaseback agreement year to year, because they could have leased it back for full value of what that property would normally lease for, we probably would have, bit off our nose to spite our face, because yes, it would probably appraise for more now, undoubtedly. But that's what we would have lost money had we leased it back for 4 years. This company was willing to, these developers were willing to allow us to stay there until this building was ready. And that gave them time to buy the other pieces that they need. It's a workable situation. It's very unlike residential real estate sales. At this level, there's so much cooperation that has to happen. It's a give and a take. And we could have put it out on open market. I've heard this over and over again. The city would not have been happy if the former City Hall was turned into a comic book store, okay? Because a resident bought it. That's a prime piece of real estate, and we would like it, I think, collectively as council, and as a city, we would like to see a developer take it and make it into something that we can all be proud of and enjoy, maximize the space there. And so by entering into this cooperative agreement, we've given them the time they need, and they've given us the time that we needed to get everything done here and build this new property. That's the give and the take. And We could get it reappraised and then insist on a new value. I just think that would be a kick in the teeth to somebody, to a company that's been working with us so well. Now, that said, I still think that they can come back to us with a plan that we like a little bit better. And I believe that Administrator Grayson has said they are working on that. There were just, you know, some minor things that we needed to work out as to what is built there and how it fits with the rest of downtown. So I'm inclined to keep this moving. The ordinance wasn't introduced before because, I mean, from an obvious, you can see what's in there. It literally names Blue Ridge Land Holdings LLC. We wouldn't put that out until we were ready to actually do the sales contract. It had to happen this way. These developers need a certain amount of anonymity while they are in the forming stages to be able to get the best angle on what they need to accomplish. The market is so competitive. There's no reason we would have put this out there and harmed them in some way as they plan. I don't have a problem with the ordinance being now, because right now is when we're signing the contract. So they needed to come out together. I will say, I would like to see them bring something back to the table a little bit more refined than what we saw at the last meeting. They listened to us. I think that they're in agreement that they can polish it up some. I'm gonna vote yes to pass this, but I will say if we don't have that new plan in place before the next vote, I will probably vote no at that time, or vote to postpone it until we do. Something else that I would like to see in a contract, and I think the city attorney would need to weigh in on, what I don't want to see happen is that we don't come to an agreement after this. They purchased the property at an appraised value from 4 years ago. We don't come to an agreement, and they can resell it to another developer, and we would have no say-so. We would have lost our four-year edge that we just worked so hard for with this company. I don't want to see that happen, so I think that some language needs to change in the contract between now and the next meeting to add that they are not allowed to resell it undeveloped. They're going to sell it after they develop it. That's their legal right to do that. But right now, I don't want the city to lose its edge in negotiations as to what goes there. That's it.
Mr. Grayson?
I just wanted to clarify a couple points. I think Councilmember Roche made some really good points, and I need to let everyone know that I had a phone conversation with one of the principals of the development company on Friday, and he indicated that they're making substantial progress toward what council commented on in executive session 2 weeks ago. They know what you all want, and they're working toward that. They also will provide a memorandum of understanding and or a development agreement to accompany the sale of the property, so that there is another then legal binding contract that would force them to do exactly what they're saying they're going to do before there's any rezoning, which gives you another crack at it too. But it was too soon to enter an MOU after the last discussion, because there were some varied differences about how much residential versus how much commercial. Once they come back with an agreement or with a product that council is comfortable with, that memorandum of understanding can then be part of this process as well. And I agree with you, if that's not accomplished before second reading, I think it should be postponed until we have accomplished a memorandum of understanding and development agreement that everybody, the developers and city council, can agree on. That's protection for both sides.
I just want to say I agree with Councilmember Roche that I would also be willing to vote yes this evening with the provision that we get that revised plan to our liking before the next vote. If not, I would vote no as well. I'm not pleased with what we have at this point in time as far as the development goes, and I would like to see those refinements done before I would vote for it on the second vote.
All right, on the motion to approve on first reading of ordinance O-2025-037 city owned property. Let's do a roll call vote, please.
Councilmember O'Meara?
No.
Councilmember Root?
Yes.
Councilmember Williams?
Yes.
Councilmember Roche?
Yes.
Councilmember Hutchings? I'm sorry, Councilmember Pinkerton?
No.
Councilmember Hutchings?
Yes.
Mayor Shoemaker?
Yes. That motion carries by a vote of 7-2.
5-2.
That motion carries by a vote of 7.
Nope.
That motion carries by a vote of 5-2. And with that concludes all of our business. If there are no objections, we will stand adjourned.